Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all of the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. All of our podcasts are also available in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Mike, the lead story, Roman Reigns opened up Raw and announced that he has leukemia and he's giving up the WWE Universal Championship. He said, quote, I've been living with leukemia for 11 years, and unfortunately it's back, and because it's back, I cannot fulfill my role. He went on to say that this wasn't a retirement speech and that he would be back. When he was done, the crowd chanted, thank you, Roman. He left the championship in the center of the ring. Seth and Dean came out. They gave Roman a big hug on the rampway. They did the Shield pose, and Raw went to break with the members of the Shield walking off the set. They announced about an hour later on Raw, about 9 o'clock or so, that it will now be Brock Lesnar against Braun Strowman for the Universal Championship at Crown Jewel. And our thoughts are with Roman, and I don't want to speak for you, Mike, or I don't want to speak for other people, but we hope that he gets better soon, and we're sending our support to the family of the wrestler we know as Roman Reigns.
Yeah, and Jimmy, you took the words out of my mouth, not just as the wrestler Roman Reigns, but the human Roman Reigns too. In the end, we all are human, and this is a real life situation here. You know, and wrestling can have that whole, this is a work, this is staged, this is real life. He's got cancer, he's got leukemia, and now he's in a battle for his life. So real life scenario, and absolutely could not have said it better. Thoughts and prayers to Roman, and he's got the whole universe, fans around him, behind him for that matter, and definitely want to see him back in the ring sooner than later. And it's certainly there's so much out there. I'm not going to be a doctor here for whatever reason, because we're not here to talk about that. But if everything goes according to plan, Roman Reigns could be back in the ring in the near future. Anytime you hear the word cancer, you know, everyone has a connection to that, a family member. Yep. Okay, my mom had it. She had a cousin of leukemia, lymphoma. When I heard that, devastated. So I'm thinking of Roman Reigns' family right now. He's got a young daughter. He just lost his brother last year. Even outside the ring, he's a very charitable guy. We were talking about him with the VIP people yep. at the TD Garden over the weekend, yep. okay? And Jimmy, even our very own Mark Bertrand, who has a great charity each year, Roman donated an autographed T-shirt to his charitable event.
This is true.
Okay. So it just, he does a lot of good things outside of the ring, and just hope to see him back inside the squared circle very soon.
I've had a couple personal experiences with Roman. He's been a first-class individual with me. Yep. So we're thinking about his family. We hope he gets better soon, and we're certainly sending our support in whatever way we can to the family of the character we know as Roman Reigns. That would seem to explain why Roman wasn't at the house shows this weekend. I know many people were told different reasons as to why he was off this weekend. I know I was told multiple stories as to why he was off this weekend. Those stories really don't matter. I do want to transition a little bit and ask you what you think about the WWE just doing a one-on-one match with the top two contenders for the Universal Championship.
Well, obviously, this is all built up around the Saudi Arabia situation, which is now 2 weeks away, and Roman Reigns was supposed to be in that main event. So the investment for what they have there for the talent has gone from 3 to 2, and I think that's why they're staying with the two main guys instead of having a tournament of some sort. I'm okay with it. I'm not crazy about it. I think it would be better for storyline-wise to have, you know, Seth Rollins go out there for the title, or Dean Ambrose, who are very close with Roman Reigns, as we know with the Shield, have them have a chance to become the Universal Champion. Other guys on the roster, too, to have a potential push again. Finn Balor, just speaking out loud, hypothetical situations here. But obviously, Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar, two big guys. I'm okay with it. Not crazy about it, but as we know, the show must go on, Jimmy.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is they need to continue on as a show, and I'm fine with them doing a one-on-one match. It's the top two contenders. They could, of course, turn the World Cup tournament, whatever they're calling it, into the Universal Championship tournament, and they would just add Brock and Braun as a singles match, maybe out in the second round, or they could fudge it around. They could make it work if they really wanted to. On a more fun note, I would just enjoy Brock Lesnar getting the Universal Championship back so I could watch the internet self-destruct. I actually think that Braun is going to get the win here. Unless they're going to pay Brock Lesnar stupid money to continue being the Universal Champion, I think this is Braun's time. This is Braun's. Finally, he gets that clean win over Brock, and maybe Brock comes back for Braun at WrestleMania in New York this year.
Sure. Yeah. Well, if he if in the case of Brock Lesnar getting the championship, if they are going to do that, you know it's going to be on Brock's terms. So
of course. So the next time you see Brock Lesnar after Crown Jewel will be the Royal Rumble, and then you'll see him at WrestleMania in New York, and then that'll be about it.
So the same crap we just dealt with, you'd be getting again there. So please, Braun Strowman, win the damn belt.
I want Brock Lesnar so bad. Robbie Fox of Barstool reported about 250 today, quote, WWE Crown Jewel could be in trouble, period. I was just told Roman Reigns is currently injured and that Cena and Bryan are refusing to work the show. Many on the current WWE roster have expressed concerns with going as well, but obviously not all of them have the power like John Cena and Daniel Bryan do. Mike, what do you make of this tweet from Robbie Fox, who I know and I trust?
Robbie's a credible guy. He's good at what he does. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt here with his sources. If John Cena is not going to be there, then John Cena is not going to be there. And the show will go on without him. Obviously, in his situation, he's not a every week superstar where you can get by without him. And you can definitely get by without him in the situation it is right here. People, I don't know. This could be a domino effect. We'll see, but we have another week to go. I'm not really surprised by hearing this. I'm sure there's a lot of that behind the scenes too, but a guy like John Cena can kind of more or less have that power to, he didn't say it publicly, but maybe he will. And that would, tell everyone, no, we're not doing this. But I don't think they have that much power with WWE. Like, we got to go if we want to get a paycheck. We want to stay with the company. So they're kind of being forced into it. But if Cena don't want to be there, he doesn't have to be there. So I'm okay with it.
I'm not sure that Daniel Bryan has the power to refuse to work somewhere. Mm-hmm. They'd just be like, okay, we'll give your title shot to somebody else. I think John Cena does. And I think when John Cena files a complaint with Vince McMahon, I think it's taken very seriously. Mm-hmm. I still feel like the roster doesn't want to go to this pay-per-view, but the office wants them to go. So the office can collect the $50 million and run and hope that it doesn't have the same issue come April if the agreement continues. Realistically, though, this goes to a greater point. It's not like the WWE needs the $50 million, but maybe they actually do need the money. And it brings us to last night. We were both at the TD Garden, and I saw a lot of yellow in the building. And I think the people of Boston were sending a message to WWE, and their message was, we want important shows. The TD Garden was empty last night.
Yeah.
Yellow in the lower bowl. The balcony was completely closed off. That's not a good sign, and it might be Boston's way of revolting against WWE for taking away the TLC show or not having Evolution here, which, by the way, it would have sold out. I just wonder what Boston has done to deserve such poor treatment. We sell out the shows that mean something. We sold out Hell in a Cell, Money in the Bank. We sold out TLCs. I don't recall the attendance for Raw the last few times they were here. I know SmackDown at the Garden had some attendance issues. But generally speaking, when the WWE invests in us, us being Boston, we, Boston, invest in them.
Right.
So the question that I have is, if WWE didn't send out an email on Friday announcing a card change, Miz is off the card, Samoa Joe's off the card, some match changes, the Roman stuff, we didn't know what was going on, we didn't know why, we now know why, and we understand why. But I wonder if the WWE would have had a better walk-up number. It was $20 for a good seat in the actual right. building, and even at that number, fans passed on it. The actual Garden box office didn't open until 4 o'clock that day, which mm-hmm. blows my mind, and that's not a WWE issue. But I wonder what WWE could have done better to draw a house in Boston. Because when the shows are there and when they invest in us, we show up.
Let's start with the day of the week, a Sunday, okay? Not taking away a house show, or excuse me, a pay-per-view. Yeah, you are taking away a pay-per-view, but then you turn that into a house show. You and I know that if that were a pay-per-view, yes, Evolution.
It would have sold out.
Yes, so people would have invested. I'm not knocking a house show, but people are not into the house show. They're just not, especially on a Sunday night. Now, the WWE in their favor, they had the fact that there was no Game 7 in the ALCS. There was no Sunday Night Patriots game, so that worked in their favor. To your point of the fans saying, see ya, we're pissed off because you did take this away from us. I could see that. However, though, I just think that with the house show, it's not a sexy draw from where it would have been with the pay-per-view. I'm sure there are some fans that did not go for that fact of the matter. In fact, I know some people did not.
I do too. I know a bunch of people who were considerate, okay. who heard that it was $20 to get in. They're like, nah, not really.
Exactly. So they passed on it. They took a hard pass. But others just may have had other things going on. It's life. Things come up. 4,000 people, not good. And I'll tell you, Jimmy, that Raw back in July, now that was a bad week. Granted, July the 9th, 4th of July, summer, terrible attendance. Half of the balcony, maybe even a quarter of the balcony was filled. And that was a go-home show for a pay-per-view. What the heck was it? Extreme Rules. Again, not a SummerSlam one, but still tough week on the 4th of July. Not good attendance. So, yes, Boston does have a deal with at least 4 shows a year at the TD Garden, and that is because Boston is one of the original WWF, going back to the old days, cities. So Vince McMahon still has quite an allegiance and has a special place in his heart for Boston. But, yes, in the end, I think the fans got robbed here.
Yeah, so from my perspective, and we can go through our day at the Garden, night at the Garden. We did VIP. Billy Smith took good care of us. Our VIP experience was Charlotte Flair, Dean Ambrose, AJ Styles, and you and I got to go backstage and meet Liv Morgan and Ruby Riott. They're personal favorites of mine.
Yeah, me too.
Now you too. You're welcome. The Riot Squad, for me, they're an undercard favorite of mine. So getting the chance to kind of meet them and greet them kind of as an extra was really good. And I got to talk them up a little bit. And I think they're doing really great work. Everybody knows how I feel about Charlotte Flair. She made a woman cry tears of joy. Of course, our friend and loyal listener, Lauren, met her for the second time. And Lauren couldn't believe that Charlotte remembered her driving 8 hours to East Nowhere, New Jersey for a book signing. And Charlotte remembered the tattoo and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Lauren was blown away by that. I know, Mike, you were blown away by meeting WWE champion AJ Styles.
Yes, I was. And I've always wanted to meet AJ. He's my favorite on the current roster right now. So that meant a lot to have him sign my championship belt, as you know, with quite a few signatures on there. And now that belt might be retired, Jeremy. You may not see that again. So we'll see. But yeah, that was a real big deal. And Charlotte, too, seeing her again, you know, just like had the chance to interact with her a couple of years ago, and even a little bit of WrestleMania weekend. But that she's awesome. She just really so personal with everybody.
She personalized that experience for everybody.
Yeah, it was awesome. Like, she's a top shelf superstar and a top shelf human being. And you know, that's that says a lot about
her.
So
I think more people who did the VIP who have now met Charlotte understand my fondness and my glowingness about her, the performer and the person.
Yeah, she's great. She's awesome. And AJ Styles is cool. Dean Ambrose, nice
guy.
Dean
Ambrose was fabulous too.
Yep, good dude. So, but as far as you know, Liv Morgan, I did meet her a couple of years ago too, and she remembered where it was.
Yep.
And the situation, and she was really cool. And Ruby Riott was awesome. But I'm very excited to see how they continue to climb among the top of the ladder in the WWE.
So I'll tell this story for the podcast because I think it's a great story. So I had at the last minute printed an 8x10 because, look, I'm a collector. I have a binder. Mm-hmm. If you've been in my home office, you know that I have a wall of WWE signatures.
Oh, yeah.
8x10 signatures, amongst other memorabilia on the wall that is sports related. And so I had printed out an 8x10 of the Riot Squad on my home printer. And so there were two of the three. Sarah Logan was not there. I don't know why. I didn't ask.
Yeah.
And so as Ruby's signing her signature on the 8x10, she goes, "Can I forge Sarah Logan's signature?" And I go, "Of course you can." I said, "It's going in my binder at home. Of course you can. It's a better story if you do, actually." And she goes, "Okay, great." And she forged her signature with a laugh. So
yeah, nice. That's awesome.
But they're really good people. I know they're on the villain side of things, but I see so much talent in all three of them, and how they have used their entryway to establish their personality and the colors that they use. Of course, Liv has the multicolored tongue. She has the suspenders. Ruby has the ink all over the place. Sarah has a unique look, and they stand out, and they all feel to me like they're very good and solid in the ring. So hopefully their success up the card, hopefully they will be successful up the card going forward.
And Jimmy, if I may say, I know you'll echo my sentiments here, but if you ever do have the opportunity to attend a house show, you know, save some money, put it away, and cross this off your bucket list item, do the VIP. It's really a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and Billy does a fantastic job behind the scenes. He makes sure you're taken care of soup to nuts, but definitely you really should do that at least once in your life, the VIP, if you are a wrestling fan. And it's an awesome opportunity, and cannot say enough good things about it. If you have any questions about it, I know you and I will be happy to answer anyone's questions about
More than happy to advocate for the VIP experience. Billy Smith is a wonderful person who has taken good care of us over the past few years.
And Jimmy, I know even from you and I talking about this here in the podcast, there are people that listen to us on a weekly basis decided to do it because of us talking.
We're responsible for like 20 of them.
Yeah, Rayanne and Johnny, they were there. Lauren and Mary, Carl, just good people and loyal listeners. And yeah, it was really cool to see them all.
Yeah, we're responsible for 20 of them, so they owe us money.
I love it.
So we missed about the first 45 minutes or so of the show. We sat down around the time that Rusev was making Aiden English tap out. We saw a match between Becky and Charlotte that turned into a six-woman match with Charlotte, Carmella, and Asuka against Becky and the Iconics, which was good. Charlotte submitted Peyton Royce with a figure eight. Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose defeated the Raw Tag Team Champions by DQ, McIntyre and Ziggler. Excellent old-school match. Sasha Banks and Bayley and Dana Brooke defeated the Riot Squad. Good match. Observations that I make during these shows. Bayley did make sure that a young fan got her t-shirt. And then after the match, she went over and took a photo with said young fan. Allow me a moment on Sasha Banks and kind of Bayley as well. I just feel like they're below where they should be on the card, and especially in Boston. Sasha Banks was in the main event 2 years ago. I think it was 2016 Hell in a Cell. And Bayley was defending the Raw Women's Championship in Orlando. And now it feels like it's them against the world. And I have an idea why, but that's neither here nor there. The bottom line for me with Sasha and Bayley is these are two tremendously talented women. And Sasha is in her hometown and in an intermission match. That to me is a joke. Sasha Banks deserves much better than being the first match out of intermission. Banks and Bayley sell merchandise and a good amount of it. Banks is a good promo and should be a villain. And Bayley, based on watching her NXT run, should be something close to John Cena. And they're in the intermission match. That needs to be different.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, just to touch on that too, Jimmy, you know, we thought for a while that these two would actually feud with each other, with their rival and so forth, but they patched things up in the storyline, and off screen they are best friends. Did you see, by any chance, see the tweet there with Sasha teasing the potential women's tag team championships?
So I did see it, but I didn't follow up on it.
Okay, so you saw the same video I'm talking about. It was taped at the TD Garden over the weekend, and yes, I think that's the beginning of those two becoming the first ever women's tag team champions right there, Sasha and Bayley. That's why they've been kind of left down mid-card, and now you'll start to see them get that elevation once again, where the first ever women's tag team championship will be announced at the Evolution pay-per-view this weekend. But you're right, though, back to your original point of Sasha should have been higher up on the card, especially your hometown. I think that is a slap in the face.
I know that they are both better and they're just not getting the opportunity. And the Raw Women's Champion Ronda Rousey and Nia Jax defeated Mickey James and Tamina, finishes Ronda escaping a roll-up that turned into an armbar. Ronda is just so fluid in the ring. She's just a tremendous athlete, and she's having a similar type rookie year as Kurt Angle did. She's tremendous. She's made a great transition from UFC MMA into the world of professional wrestling sports entertainment. AJ Styles defeated Nakamura and Daniel Bryan in a triple threat match to retain the WWE Championship. The match went about 16 minutes. With the finish of Bryan missing a running knee, Nakamura going for the finisher on Styles, his finisher on Styles, which Styles ducked and configured into a Styles clash. Another observation, Bryan during the Nakamura and Styles intro was taking photos with the kids around ringside, gave his shirt and towel to kids at ringside. I bring it up, you brought up the AJ Styles, or you're going to bring up something that AJ Styles did, and I'll just tag along with that. The wrestlers at these live events, the superstars at these live events, they go the extra mile to make sure that a young child's experience is extra special.
Right.
So if 37-year-old James Stewart was 7-year-old James Stewart, he would have gotten all the swag from everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Because the wrestlers would have felt bad that I look the way that I look, and they would have given me everything.
Don't say that, Jimmy.
So just the fact that they all go the extra mile for the children, that's the good stuff. That's really what pro wrestling, sports entertainment, and WWE is all about.
Totally. And you want me to touch on that AJ Styles story there?
Yeah,
So I got a really nice tweet today from a loyal listener of this show, Rob, who I actually saw in the lobby of the TD Garden after the show last night. And Rob tweeted to me, but he included, thanks to AJ Styles for giving my son the shirt off his back, which you just talked about right there. And yes, he was wearing the shirt that AJ had on him when I saw him. Like, did AJ give you that shirt? And he goes, yeah. And I'm like, oh, that is so cool. And he saw me, as everyone knows. Yes, I'm a 34-year-old. Everyone knows I have numerous championship belts. Jimmy Stewart is now part of that club. Congratulations, Jimmy. Welcome aboard. you could tell that story another time. But he saw I have
multiple autographed championship belts. There may be some that you're unaware of.
Okay, that's fine. Nope. Hey, listen, it's a beautiful thing. So I had my belt, and the youngster was looking at it. I'm like, hey, kid, take the belt right there. And he goes, yeah. And I'm like, can you have your dad take a picture with that? His dad took a picture, and he said, I also want to thank Sarge for letting him take a picture with the belt. You both played a big part in making his night great. I will forever appreciate it. Tweeted it to me at Sarge95. I put it out there and I said, your son looks like a future champ. But what I didn't find out up until now, Jimmy, apparently Charlotte said to the little guy, hey, handsome, and that made him fall in love. And I'm like, yep, I probably would have too.
Yep.
So there you go. You're right. These guys really go all out for non-televised events. They're kind of off character a little bit.
And they let their hair down because they're not on. They obviously they have time cues, but
right.
They can take their time. They can interact more with the fans. And that's why I continue to tell people that you really want to go to live events and have that fan experience. If you can sit near the ring, we're blessed. We have the opportunity to sit near the ring.
Yep.
But if you can do that, you should do that. And we're shilling a lot for WWE, but we really had a great experience last night, and we just want to convey that to those who listen to the podcast.
Bottom line, if you are a fan, if you have been a fan for a long time, you really do have to go to a house show next time it does roll into town.
Evolution is this Sunday. WWE is presenting its all-women's pay-per-view event. The main event is either Ronda versus Nikki Bella for the Raw Women's Championship or Becky Lynch versus Charlotte in a last woman standing match for the SmackDown Women's Championship. This might be an informed opinion. If I'm betting today, I'd bet Ronda goes on last. But I will tell you that when talent is told something on a Sunday or a Monday, that might change by the time the pay-per-view rolls around at 5 o'clock on Sunday. Both are going to be really good matches. The promo work from Ronda and Nikki has been outstanding, and Becky and Charlotte has been the best story on WWE TV for a while now. Becky and Charlotte should be the main event. As of when we're recording this, I don't think that they will be, but they should be. They should be, because no match on the card is going to be able to top what I think they're going to do on Sunday.
You know, and Jimmy, we got a question this week, too, on our Twitter account at WrestleCast95, and I do want to ask you this. We were talking about this the last couple of weeks, but this is from Michael, and he wanted to know, has WWE botched Evolution, more or less like no real promotion in comparison to Crown Jewel? Kind of feels like they've missed the mark on what should be a historic pay-per-view. Agree or disagree? To what you were saying with the Ronda Rousey going on last, I just feel like that should be built up more. Okay. Charlotte and Becky with the last woman standing, that should be built up more. It's kind of been brushed under the rug a little bit, not as popular in the promotion that it should be. I just to touch on what we've talked about before, that there's been too much going on, and this has kind of been on the back burner where it really should be higher up on a pedestal when Stephanie McMahon announced over the summer that there would be the first ever women's pay-per-view. I think that it's kind of getting the shaft a little bit, and it really should be getting more attention than it is now. Excuse me.
It 100% should be getting more attention. The problem is that this five-week span, it was the third priority.
Yeah.
Australia, 70,000 people. Saudi Arabia, $50 million. Women's pay-per-view, Long Island, New York.
Yeah, and now you have...
And that's the sad reality of the pecking order.
And now we have a potential crisis here with Saudi Arabia.
Right, in that the wrestlers, the superstars may not want to go. Mm-hmm. The office wants them to go. The office wants to grab the money and run. Let's come in. We'll set up our tent. We'll tame the lion. We'll send the guy through the cannon, through the flaming hula hoop, and we'll pull down the tent and we'll run and we'll have our $50 million. And that's kind of the issue.
Yeah.
I want to get to one note from Meltzer that jumped out at me in the Observer this week before we wrap up. I'm going to read directly, quote, regarding Fox. So Fox is entering in with a television deal for the WWE next year. Essentially, for the next 5 years, WWE is going to be getting $2 billion from Fox and USA. Quote, regarding Fox, because wrestling is being positioned as part of the sports block, a Thursday through Sunday thing Fox is looking at starting in 2019, especially during football season. Fox wants the SmackDown show to be less comedy and more in a sports direction. Vince is more into the comedy presentation with wrestling, but they are looking at having their sports people on different shows, heavily promoting it, and they want to give them something athletically oriented to promote, unquote. Isn't this really what wrestling fans want? A more sports and athletically oriented wrestling show? The key to me, the key to any wrestling show is emotional investment. And if wrestlers are treated like sports teams, doesn't that help everybody? This kind of translates to me that Fox wants WWE to be closer to New Japan Pro Wrestling. And if that's the case and that's what Fox wants, that's a good thing. And I think WWE is going to be like, okay, how much are you paying us? We'll transition that show to it. And don't be surprised if Ronda Rousey ends up being the featured performer on the SmackDown show.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a perfect example right there. And, you know, they just ride off the coattails of her success in UFC and, you know, with the whole sporty type, like Meltzer was saying, and with the Fox vision of things. So that's the perfect person to have right there as your, you know, prime attraction on the SmackDown situation. In the end, if that's what Fox wants, I think that's what Fox is going to get, Jimmy, because, yeah, they're dishing out all the dough. And you know what? Whoever pays the bills, you can't really argue that in the end, right?
And that's why they're trying to cash grab for Crown Jewel, I think.
Yep. I think you're onto something.
I think that's exactly what it is. Because at the end of the day, we love them. They're great entertainment, but they're carnies. That's what I say to people all the time. They're carnies, and that's at the end of the day what they are. I kind of want to wrap up thanking some people. I have 300 thank yous. That is to the people who came out and met Seth Rollins at his meet and greet on Sunday afternoon. I took, I think, 3 photos. I was honored that I took that many because it's nice when people recognize you and thank you for doing the radio thing and everything. Mm-hmm. I talked to Seth a little bit before the doors open. He, to me, seems like a really good dude, and I was happy that I was there and a part of that event in some way. So thank you to everybody who came out to Somerville to the Xfinity store for meeting Seth Rollins. Some said hello to me, and it was just a really, really good event. And that's another example of seeing kids go up and meet their favorite wrestler and getting that joy and excitement. There was the first person in line got there at 2 a.m. Sunday morning.
Holy cow.
2 a.m.
2 a.m. And it was a 12 o'clock appearance?
It was a 12 o'clock appearance, yes.
Wow. Holy cow. That's unbelievable.
Pretty wild.
That's dedication.
Mike, I understand you went to Kowloon. How was the Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson live podcast?
Yeah. So, you know, the really big fan of Bruce and Conrad. And, you know, you and I have had interactions with them off the air. Off their podcast as well, and just good guys all around. And as Gorilla Monsoon used to say, we were hanging from the rafters at the Kowloon upstairs, close to 300 people in attendance. Excellent food as always. Loyal listeners, same situation. Kind of like you, Jimmy, I want to thank those that came up to me and said, hey, how you doing? And a lot of people are asking, hey, where's Jay Stu? Where's Jay Stu? And I said, yeah, he sold out for the day. He's hanging out with Seth, but he'll be at the show.
No. I bought in on Seth Rollins. I bought in. I did not sell out. I bought in.
Okay, let me finish this, please, all right? Chill out there, Girl Scout, all right? Anyways, a lot of people were asking about you and the Wong father, who was actually out of town. So it was just really cool to see some listeners there. And, you know, we got a few pictures, and a few wanted the old Sarge salute on there. So I said, sure, let's do it. But it was a lot of fun and really nice to see some people who I haven't seen in a long time, including also a nice little plug for the legendary Brian Malonis, independent wrestler. Yep. of the Chaotic, and also going to be at the Ring of Honor show in Lowell on November the 8th. Just a great guy. Malone's big fan of his. The only thing I had against him was his Pittsburgh Steelers baseball cap. Otherwise, we had a good time, and top shelf from everybody at the Kowloon, and really enjoyed that. So thanks, everyone, for coming out to say hi. And obviously, I know Bruce and Conrad appreciate everyone to go and support their show as well.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all of the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. All of our podcasts are also available in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. For Mike Riley at Sarge985, our Twitter account, Wrestling Inside the Ropes, is at WrestleCast985. You can follow me on Twitter at IamJamesStewart. We will see you, or we will talk to you next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.